you're alive.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is 6 o'clock, October 24th, and this is the Town of Curry Beach regular town council meeting. John, may we please have the invocation and then the Pledge of Allegiance.
Please join me in prayer. Dear Lord, I pray that you guide us as always. Satisfy the needs that need to be met during this meeting and strengthen us as we make tough decisions. Bless all of our endeavors, especially today's meeting. Guide us in our discussions. Enlighten our minds in every decision that we make. Give us your grace that we may effectively do our parts as public servants. Bless our plans, our programs, and our projects so that we may achieve our objectives in your greater glory. In your super wonderful name. Amen.
Amen. Stand for the allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, gentlemen, please take the opportunity to review the consent agenda items.
Mr. Mayor, we need to remove item 3.3 about the appointment of Susan McGibbon to the Community Center Committee.
Okay. Do I have, so we've got removing item 3.3. Any other corrections?
Make a motion we approve the consent agenda as modified.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, approved as modified without 3.3. Moving on to adoption of the agenda. Please take the opportunity to review the agenda and let me know if you have any changes that are proposed, additions or deletions.
Again, Mr. Mayor, let's remove item 9.2 under old business. I'd rather wait until we just get the architectural proposal and do it all at one time. That's okay.
Okay. Any other adds or removals? I'll accept the motion.
Recommend we approve the agenda as modified, removing 9.2.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Agenda approved with the removal of 9.2. Okay, we move on now to the public comment, and I would remind the individuals that you, to address council, you need to be a resident of Curry Beach, and we have 3 minutes to state your point. The first individual would be Helen Peterson. Helen. Would you rather sit down, Helen?
No, once I get up, I can.
Okay. I mean, we could bring you the mic.
I don't want this to intimidate anyone.
Okay.
I typed it all out, wanted to send it to Mandy or someone there, and I think I lost it. I mean, the copy.
Oh, okay.
So I have to rely on my notes, and I will do the best I can. Thank you for your indulgence. Good evening, gentlemen, everyone. I'm Helen Peterson, and I live at 213 Atlantic Avenue. I look forward to hearing from our councilmen tonight to share their specific thoughts and perspectives regarding the boardwalk project. Thankfully, I have never missed one of my 88 years to have that incredible Curry Beach experience. I predate the boardwalk. I predate the paving, the first paving of Atlantic Avenue. There are more after that. I tended gardens, even learned to milk goats along that stretch. So I not only know the history, I have lived it through each evolutionary change. With interest, I have participated many times in council meetings over the decades. I participated in 2009 when the boardwalk was first installed. Who knew I'd be participating again this time? There were always compromises. So far, we succeeded. Let's strive for the best outcome again. Much has already been said of the less than transparent process you chose to take and how adversely it impacted all of us. Only one of you, to my knowledge, had yielded to any responsibility for creating the adversarial atmosphere, and that was Mayor Blazinski, who said to me, and I quote, "Maybe we could have done things differently." I sincerely thank him for that. And I sincerely thank all of you for your public service. I always appreciate it. It is a commitment I know of firsthand. What I learned distinctly during my experience is that for the best outcome of any important community endeavor or project, public service succeeds only with inclusive public engagement. By now, the boardwalk has been well identified as a community asset, an icon. There have been hundreds of responses, a public outcry through letters, speaking at meetings, neighborhood-to-neighborhood discussions, and by signing a petition. It has become clear that from all of this testimony that it is overwhelming preference of the townspeople that the boardwalk concept be preserved for its character and meaningfulness to the entire community. Actually, you challenged us. We did what was necessary. We did our due diligence. What we feared most, I guess, was that the meaningfulness could be jeopardized, endangered by the actions of a few. So I'd like to challenge you, my turn. Or I challenge all of us. Catch my breath. To reconsider how we go forward. How do you accept and encourage that necessary public engagement? These 3-minute opportunities once a month may be acceptable and efficient for your regular business meetings. But once an issue such as the boardwalk have moved on and become a major project, you must either move the hand of the clock that's missing tonight, an intimidating clock, or, so finally, let's consider the process going forward. The boardwalk project requires a new status, a different venue for vetting. First, let me digress just a bit. It has been suggested by some of you that council and staff contract a professional group to draw up some designs to present to the community for review. I am seriously opposed to that process and suggest a different approach. The boardwalk itself has dictated,
actually, Helen, you're beyond your 3 minutes.
The boardwalk itself has dictated the timing by its physical condition, and that is to be soon.
Actually,
the
Helen,
planning time, just
Helen, you're actually beyond your 3 minutes.
Okay.
Would you please leave that so we can enter it as part of the record?
And I can come back later.
You can certainly come see any one of us anytime you like.
I just have a few sentences left. The board
so you want to finish that?
Timing is now. It's evident so far that public involvement is well underway. Public preference to preserve the boardwalk concept is evident. It's time to set up a special meeting to coalesce all that we've learned. Allow appropriate time for each individual to express their opinions and ideas in a fresh way. Then and only then will we be ready for you, our representatives, to present to a professional firm for to receive our respective preferences. The professionals will do their due diligence for us. They will do their research and assist us in how to move through the budgeting process. And achieve our goals. Thank you so much for your indulgence. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, Helen. Ms. Ames.
Good
evening, Councilman and Mayor. I'm Jennifer Ames. I live at 313 Atlantic Avenue. This evening, I'm here standing up for my Atlantic Avenue neighbors. Some of you have addressed one of my neighbors with such apparent disdain for the 22 properties along our two blocks that it makes me wonder what you must think of the hundreds of families that have houses and condos directly on the ocean. Do we care about our view? Yes. Does that make us different than anyone else here? Everyone cares about their view. No one wants to look at ugly. You, as a council, last September voted to draft a resolution in support of Bald Head Island, wanting to move the wind turbine farm further offshore. When Councilman Whitley stated that he was not in favor of a resolution to basically support the residents in $2 million houses who didn't want to see them, Councilman Hegler stated, "I don't have a $2 million home, and I don't necessarily want to see that." Mr. Mayor, you stated that the pictures you saw off the coast of Europe of a wind farm at 15 miles looked pretty industrial. So why would you want Atlantic Avenue to be an eyesore? No one wants to open up their front door and look at something that looks like a Target parking lot, complete with concrete and bollards every 6 feet, as stated in the June council meeting, in which you have refused to take off the table. We are just as concerned about the safety of the boardwalk. It's utilized by families, the elderly, people who enjoy a leisurely stroll looking at the beach and ocean without fear of being overtaken or sideswiped by e-bikes, rollerbladers, and skateboarders. It is a pedestrian safe way for access to the public trust. It's also part of the identity of our community. As stated in the Island Gazette, the boardwalk is not historic. That's correct, but it is iconic. The Gazette article talked about citizens wanting ground level at the last go-around. However, they failed to mention that according to the WWAY report of August 10, 2008, they quoted then-Mayor Montgomery stating, "The town reviewed that proposal for a flat walkway and decided it was unsafe." You've stated that you're going to send an RFQ for engineering of the new walkway. Wasn't that done the last time? Weren't those guidelines followed? In 16 years, the lay of the land along Atlantic hasn't changed. Maybe you should use the money that you'll spend on a proposal to buy ground contact lumber and Thompson's water steel instead and maintain the boardwalk. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Mr. Ames.
Gentlemen, my name is Howard Ames, and I live at 313 Atlantic Avenue. Since the boardwalk is on the agenda today, I'd like to remind the members on the council and the public of a few points and facts that have brought us to this point. The Division of Coastal Management has approved your application to replace the Atlantic Avenue boardwalk with an 8-foot walkway slash sidewalk made of concrete or other acceptable material. North Carolina DOT guidelines for a multi-use path is a minimum of 10 feet, preferably 12 feet. So without considering any other factors regarding why the boardwalk should not be a multi-use path, the width approved for the boardwalk project does not meet the minimum guidelines set forth by the state. Ground level concrete is a poor choice for our boardwalk. Why would you place a concrete path in a sand dune that shifts? That's a setup for cracks, offset concrete, and thus injury. In addition, it will increase maintenance involved with the need to fix the cracks, resetting the concrete, and removing weeds in the cracks. Not to mention the frequent need to power blow the sand off the ground level concrete. Ground level anything is a poor design in this location right next to the road. Using bollards every 6 feet, as mentioned by the town along the road, is almost farcical, if not ludicrous. Yes, as mentioned again, this time in the local Island Gazette, the residents in 2009 asked for a ground-level walkway. But let us also remember, and which the town never mentioned, is that the mayor at that time, Mr. Montgomery, stated that the boardwalk should be raised due to safety concerns of a ground-level boardwalk. Seriously, the boardwalk has been a wonderful work in progress, which has developed into a fine, iconic locale. The original construction of the boardwalk did not have the plantings. They were added later for beautification. As it turned out, the plantings worked very well as a safety buffer. As we have seen quite often, the plantings have some freedom of motion when wrenches back out of the driveways onto Atlantic Avenue. However, you can just imagine how many upset renters the town will have if they were to back out into bollards. If the town and council decide to change their original plan made last year, which was to replace the boardwalk as is in 1/4 increments each year over 4 years, then the RFQs, that's the request for qualifications, that are sent out should include all possibilities: wood, concrete, composite, elevated, ground, 8-foot, 6-foot, etc., so that the firms do not have any preconceived notions provided by the town as to what the residents of the town truly desire. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Am I addressing Nick or Sandy Lay?
Yes.
All right.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you all for having us. Nick and Sandy Lay. We live at 422 Anchor Way. And we're tennis players and frequent users of Joey's Park.
And we love it.
And really, all the efforts that you guys have done over the years, we've really appreciated it. Right now, there's two porta pots there at the park, and we go there with our grandkids and, of course, my wife, you know, and it's just very difficult to really have a family setting there at the park with the bathrooms the way they are. I do have, Carolina Beach just had their bathrooms redone, and one of my friends is on the board there. He sent me a proposal. It's $132,000 to establish the bathrooms there. I have the schematics. I can forward them to you guys so you can take a look at it. I really think it would be a big plus for the community.
For our children and grandchildren, I think it would be a wonderful asset to the community because our numbers have increased during the pickleball and tennis tournament. We have a lot of people there, a lot of young children there, and I indeed use the facility there, and there are germs and a lot of diseases that come with the use of porta potties, and I think it would be a wonderful idea to get rid of those and have a permanent building.
And we want what's best for everybody. So.
Not just us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
John's got a couple to read.
Oh, John, that's right. I'm sorry. You have a few to read.
First, let me ask Beth a question. Okay, we have several letters from citizens regarding separate issues. This first one is from a gentleman named Ronnie Younce, and the exact same letter, I guess this is an acquaintance of his. I don't know if they are married or what, but they do list the same address. Christine Harbor. Dear Cure Beach Town Council, please read our email as part of today's meeting. Sorry.
Oh, it's John's.
Yeah. And have them noted in the minutes. Our family has owned property at 305 Atlantic Avenue in Cure Beach since the 1940s. We are against the proposal of a multi-use path being built on Atlantic in Cure Beach in front of our home. We like the addition of the wooden walkway for pedestrians, and the one-way street on Atlantic Avenue is fine for bikers since there is not much traffic there. Overall, we prefer to keep the boardwalk as is and maintain it properly. A concrete sidewalk, while perhaps the least expensive option, is not in keeping with the aesthetic of the Curie Beach waterfront. The historic Curie Beach Pier is wood and matches nicely with the existing wooden walkway. A concrete sidewalk would also be a hassle to keep clean of sand. If a change is needed, we would support the replacement of the existing wooden boardwalk with an above-ground composite material that emulates wood to address any long-term maintenance issues. Thank you. And as I said, the second letter from this couple is exactly word for word of what I just read. Third, this is from Lynn Steffen. Dear council members, I have been reviewing the intention of replacing the wooden boardwalk along Atlantic Avenue with a concrete bike/pedestrian trail. The deterioration of the planking does have to be addressed. However, replacing it with a costly and less visually appealing concrete pathway does not seem to be the correct approach for the following reasons. One, safety. Currently, bikes use the road to traverse the two blocks in question. If bikes and pedestrians are to share a narrow path, bikers or walkers may be forced into the traffic lane to avoid collisions. Two, appearance. The natural appearance of that stretch adds value to the town. Many guests of ours have commented on how nice it is to walk there. This is just lovely. In the survey conducted by the town, a majority of the respondents cited having a natural appearance in the central town area is important to them. Three, water runoff. Some of the properties along Atlantic Avenue sit at ground level. By eliminating the absorption ability of the boardwalk, there will be more water running onto Atlantic Avenue and possibly into those homes. Four, cost. Has there been a side-by-side comparison of the cost of replacing the current decking with a more durable wood product and maintenance of it opposed to the multiple costs involved in a concrete replacement and maintenance thereof? As a taxpayer, I oppose proceeding with the plan until the cost-benefit analysis is done. From what I have discerned, there isn't a groundswell of support for making the proposed change, nor have there been accidents between pedestrians and bicyclists. Without a more considered response to the opposition of converting the present land use, council should not proceed with this project. Thank you for your consideration. Lynn Steffen at 1208A North Fort Fisher Boulevard. Last one. Terry McHugh. I understand that the boardwalk, sidewalk issue is on tonight's agenda. I would appreciate if the statement below could be read into the record. Statement. My name is Terry McHugh. My wife and I own Unit A at 221 Atlantic Avenue. We are proponents of maintaining the raised boardwalk along Atlantic Avenue. An 8-foot-wide, multi-use street-level sidewalk is likely to create unsafe condition for beachgoers and visitors of the town. Parents with young children carrying beach gear will now have to dodge the scooters, the cyclists, the skateboarders, cruising the new sidewalk. Please maintain the boardwalk as a pedestrian-only walkway. Regards, Terry McHugh. That's all.
Okay. Did you get all those, Beth?
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to presentations. I don't believe we have any presentations this evening, so we will move into committee business. First up, Bike Ped Committee, Chairman Mo.
Very active, and so I'm going to get through this as fast as I can, what's going on right now. Last meeting in October, we spent the meeting in a process facilitated by Candy and Cindy called SOAR, and we work to create our strategic plan. And basically, we came up with 4 or 5 areas to prioritize the master plan, the funding, marketing, education, and clean streets for bicycles and pedestrians. We're just in the draft phase right now, but we'll be working on that. This week, we will be attending the Bike Walk NC Summit in Greenville, North Carolina. Candy, Eileen Clute, and myself will go in person, and the others on my committee, Commissioner Oliver will be attending virtually, and anybody can attend it virtually if you'd like. You just go to Bike Walk NC and you pay according to what you want to pay. But it has been so helpful in the past. This is where I first learned about comprehensive plans. This is where I learned about walk audits. This is where I learned about traffic gardens. And this year it'll be interesting because the theme is safety at the heart of active mobility. And we'll see what we come back with. We met with the marketing committee to present them the map that we have, and we just want to make sure that we're all on the same page and that there's cohesiveness, so one committee isn't doing something that the other committee couldn't even make it better. Also, I was contacted by Carolina Beach about their bike rodeo. We donated to them, and it has been changed. The date now is November 13th. The chairperson for their bike ped committee, Ricky Meese, contacted me because they want to do a traffic garden. They had heard our traffic garden was so successful, and I let them borrow our traffic garden kit and then introduced them to the Terry Benji Bicycling Foundation, who can do the safety event with their kids. WMPO has given us the information about the quarter cent sales tax that's going to be on the ballot this November, and it's a trails and transit tax. So even what it means is, if it goes through, when you pay sales tax, it's 25 cents on $100 that you would spend. The interesting thing about it is not just residents, but all visitors would be paying and putting that money in for trails and transits. And, you know, who knows, 5 years from now, we might be able to get some money for bike lanes or bike path or something. But it doesn't go on your prescriptions or food or things like that. So you can Google that and find out more information. I think it's a vote yes. The WMPO is promoting it. 2023 is the year of the trail, and because we're part of the East Coast Greenway, and the East Coast Greenway has been designated as a state trail, you know, we're looking at how we can help them in our area of the trail. And then our meeting for November has been changed to November 15th because of voting. It'll be Tuesday at 3 o'clock because quite a few of the people like to come to our meetings. And I think that's it. If there are any questions.
Any questions for Mo?
Yes, sir.
No, thank you, Mo.
Thank you, Mo. Thanks for the update. Community Center, I don't think Chairman John is here. Community Center is going to put on a light globe and a cookie exchange, and I think they're December 4th, on December 4th. So you may want to look into that. Globe is a chicken wire globe. You ring the lights, you hang them from trees or porches, and are quite stunning in the evening. And the cost is incredibly. Did they set a cost yet, Nikki?
They did. I don't remember.
$5, okay. I think.
It was somewhere in that range, but don't quote us to that yet. So, and then there's going to be a cookie exchange. It doesn't mean you walk in with Oreos and walk out with cookies that have 5 pounds of butter and sugar in them. So if you have homemade cookies, bring them and exchange them for other homemade cookies. So I think I said that correctly, Nikki. So otherwise, we'd have a pile of Oreos when they were done, I'm sure. So that's it for the community center. We did add 2 new members. Next on the would be the Historical Preservation Commission.
Nothing from the Historic Preservation Commission.
Okay, Chairman Galbraith, but I bet you do have something to say about the Land Use Committee.
Yes, it's been a long process. Again, Craig Galbraith, Chairperson of the Land Use Committee. I think we're at a point right now where it needs to go to a legislative hearing. There's been a long process for about a year now of looking to revise our land use plan process. We've had a number of people involved and a number of commissions. I believe the last commission that was involved was it going to the Planning and Zoning Commission for some final comments. Mm-hmm. These comments have all been incorporated, so it has been a long process with a lot of open opportunity for the public to provide input on the land use plan. And we're at a point now where you have the preliminary land use plan that has incorporated all of the recommendations by the various commissions and the public. And it is before you to decide what to do or schedule a legislative hearing for it.
I would encourage each of you to take a look at the document. It's about 150 pages long, but there's tremendous information in there. And based on the information that we received from the Council of Governments, you can be proud of Curie Beach. We stand up very well, and of course, that's the basis for our future. Our future is incredibly important. We're bounded on all sides. We're not going to grow. The spaces we have are the spaces we have, and we better use them correctly. And being the chairman of PNZ, Mr. Galbraith has a lot to do with that. So, gentlemen, what's your will on the land use plan?
Now, Beth or Jim, don't we have to, didn't you say we had to leave like 30 minutes?
What would the Council of Government recommend having 30 minutes for the public hearing? So I would schedule it probably for 5:30 with the potential of 2 other hearings going before that next month.
2 other hearings before that next week.
Well, that you're full of good news. I would recommend
5:30.
Because Wes will be attending the meeting.
Jim, are those each legislative hearing a separate action? So we have to like have one for this and then the other things we're going to do that night. They're individual, or we just open up one public hearing and take them like items on the agenda?
No, you'd have to have 3 separate ones.
3 separate ones.
Although I think the other 2, the text amendments will go very quickly.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
I think Beth's suggestion of scheduling the land use at 5:30 works because we can do 5 o'clock for the other 2 and we'll be in good position to go right into the use plan.
Okay. I'll make a motion that we set a legislative hearing on November 21st, 2022 for the land use plan public comment.
Is that the correct date? Did we move November's meeting?
We did not.
I just want to make sure.
Yeah, we decided not to move it.
I just want to make sure I'm looking at the right date.
I'll second.
Okay. So we have...
At 5:30. I didn't say that. At 5:30, excuse me.
At 5:30. Any comments or discussion on that point, gentlemen?
Yes.
No. Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Thank you for that. And I do encourage you to look at it. For the next 20 years or so, that's going to be your document. Thank you, Craig. Marketing Committee. Oh, Dirk said he couldn't make it tonight.
No real update, Mr. Mayor, but we do have a meeting tomorrow morning.
Okay, good. I did meet with Dirk, and they are repurposing the direction of that meeting so they can add additional value to the town instead of just stamping what's going on with TDSP. So I'm excited to see what he's up to. Parking Committee. Well, I guess that's me, or would you like to do it, Dennis?
No.
Okay. Okay, we had our year-end parking committee with the department heads to see what worked, what did not work. We then met with Premium Parking, who is our parking manager, and we spent time with them on what they thought worked and didn't work. So there may be a few recommended changes to next year's program. None of those changes will impact the residents, if they even occur. With our resident passes, it would still be what any changes that may come about would not impact resident parking. So we will keep you posted on that. That will be discussed more probably in the January timeframe as we prepare for the new season next year. Later on in the other update, I'll talk a little bit about the performance of the parking program this year. Planning and Zoning, Mr. Galbraith.
Craig Galbraith, the chairperson of the Planning and Zoning Commission. We actually have two recommendations. One I'll talk about now, and then later under the Building Inspections Department, we can have another recommendation. The one right now on the agenda for 7.4 is, 7.7 is a proposed text amendment application to KPC 15.36.070, location of accessory buildings on residential lots. Again, should point out that this is a text amendment, and text amendment actually, even though it's normally brought to the Planning and Zoning Commission and ultimately to the council by an individual resident who has a particular issue, as a text amendment, any changes to the text affects all of Curie Beach. So it's not just a single specific issue for one particular property owner, but you're looking at the impact for all of Curie Beach. This particular one has to do with accessory buildings, and accessory buildings have been a problem for the Building Inspections Department. I'm sure you can go ahead and talk about that. There's a lot of accessory buildings that are in Curie Beach. Some of them are conforming and some are not conforming. Some are old, some are new. Anything that's built since the ordinance that actually follows the proper process of getting a building permit does have to follow the required setbacks. And the required setbacks, when you look at the original text, basically states that it has to follow the same setbacks as a building, which would be normally about a 10-foot setback on the back. This is one where, and again, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but this is one where a resident applied for a building permit to build a new accessory building. There was an old one that was falling down. That one was going to be knocked down. They were going to build another accessory building. And this accessory building was not going to be conforming. It was going to fall within that 10-foot setback in the back. And so they brought a proposed text amendment to the Planning and Zoning Commission, and I believe you do have that in front of you.
Yeah.
Which would change the accessory buildings from the normal statement that it has to follow the normal building setback again, which would be 10 feet, to changing it to 5 feet. Again, we did talk about this. We looked at the situation, reminded ourselves that this is for all of Curie Beach, not just this one particular property. And based upon the discussion that we had, is that we did not feel that this would be appropriate, and we recommended on a 5-0 vote to recommend denial of this particular proposal.
Mm-hmm. Ed, I think you took a look at this, and for safety concerns, you were not in favor of it as well.
Yes, sir. I sent an email in.
Yeah, I saw that. When I was reading through this thing, I looked at, and I had a question, maybe potentially about the size of the lot. Is this one of those small lots?
The background information is useful, but the agenda item is to set up a legislative hearing.
Okay.
This is not consideration and action on the application. It's to schedule a legislative hearing.
Okay. Well, then we'll schedule a legislative hearing for that. So I'll take a motion for a legislative hearing.
Make a motion we schedule a legislative hearing for 5 p.m. on the November meeting night.
I'll second.
And that night is the 21st.
21st, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Any other discussion on that point? All right, we have the motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, that's the second meeting that night. Thank you, Craig. Shoreline access and protection.
One item I'll cover under new business. It's an ordinance.
Okay.
To holds.
Under new business, good. Stormwater committee.
No updates. We didn't meet this month. We okay. still wait for the state to approve our permit modifications for stormwater.
Okay.
From 2020, December 2020.
Well, that's not unusual. Department head business administration. Beth, are you covering?
We have no update.
Okay. Building inspections department. Bethany?
Yes, sir. We just need to schedule the legislative hearing for the proposed text amendment to 1536-140 roof pitch. And I
roof
think
pitch.
Chairman Galbraith was going to give the P&Z opinion on that.
Yes, again, we also discussed this, and if by a 4-1 vote, we, as a Planning and Zoning Commission, we recommend scheduling the legislative hearing on this.
Okay. Okay, so
make a motion that we schedule this immediately following the legislative hearing for the Building Inspections Department on at 5:15 on November 21st.
Second.
Any discussion, gentlemen?
No.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Finance Department, Arlen.
I just have one quick thing. I believe it was at the August council meeting I brought up that we've been awarded two grants, $150,000 each to do asset inventory assessment of the water system and the sewer system. So to keep the process moving along, we've submitted like a preliminary budget and scope of what we want to do. But we're at the phase now we need to prepare and I guess post a RFQ for engineering services. So I just wanted to get council's approval to go ahead and work with the town attorney and the public works director in getting that together and getting that process started.
Okay. Do we need a motion or consensus?
A motion, sir.
Okay.
Make a motion. We direct the finance officer to work with the town attorney and the public works director for water and sewer surveys in conjunction with the grant guidelines.
Is there an RFQ in all that?
Yes. And to do an RFQ to stay in the guidelines of the grant, sir.
I'll second.
All right. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. You got it.
Okay. Thank you.
Fire Department, Ed?
No update, sir.
Okay. Police Department?
No update.
Okay. Chief? Public Works Department? Mike, what you got for it? Jim, what you got for us?
Good afternoon, everybody. I just want to give a quick update about the Motson Property Stormwater Project. I reached out to Jonathan Hankel from GPI now. They've been reviewing the drawings, and they had some additional comments. They're also making some corrections and getting a cost estimate, and he wants to meet like in the middle of November. So, and he said he would have the permitted, he's submitting the permit drawings between Thanksgiving and Christmas of this year. So that's mm-hmm. basically the update that he gave me.
So, that's submitting to us, correct?
Sir, yes, sir.
Okay. Because mm-hmm. we haven't approved the money yet.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, I'll tell you how much you've been caught.
I know exactly right.
And also, I'm pretty sure that the town's received the lease agreement from Bonsuit for the project.
I'll we have.
Okay. All right. So that's basically about it for me. I mean, outside of letting you guys know that the water tower is completed and the ditches are cleaned out and the new garbage truck has been exposed, and, which I'll get with Beth this week and try to send out an email to all the residents on how to turn the garbage cans around and where to position them. So
okay.
Other than that, everything is going good.
All right.
Thank you, Tim.
Counselor.
To this item is the fact that we've received a proposed easement agreements for the Monsoon project.
Right.
I communicated with the board by email back on October 12th. The easement agreement is fine, it's comprehensive, it's very good. It's been sent to us to offer, for council to authorize the mayor's execution. It's got to go back to Monsoon for a full execution. When we get the fully executed agreement back, and it needs to be recorded in the register of deeds. Final point is that there's a lot of there are a significant number of provisions in the easement agreement that we need to incorporate into the vendor contracts when we get to that point. So please keep that in mind. But at this point, council should entertain a motion to authorize the mayor to execute the easement. There's very specific instructions on transmitting this back to Matsu, in, which are in Matsu's cover letter, which you all have as part of the agreement. Any questions?
So Jim, I looked through it. You said this very specific. Were there any you're concerned is going to drive cost just as we go to the vendor so we make sure and communicate them properly when we're in the estimating phase? I didn't see any that did that. They seem more like legalistic versus cost-driving type.
Exactly.
But I just want to make sure. Okay.
Any other questions?
No questions.
Arlen, same question. Did you see anything that you thought might drive cost? Okay.
Not that I know.
Okay. We'll just look back through that again when you get a chance. I'll do the same thing. I just want to make sure we communicate with the vendors so we have a good cost basis when we do the request for quotes.
So everybody knows what we're talking about. This is the long-awaited contract from Matsu after 4 years to deal with the runoff behind the homes on Settlers Lane. So took a long time, but we're finally there.
I didn't say where on Settlers Lane.
What's that?
Where on Settlers
Lane. On Settlers Lane. That's a good point. Thank you. Originating at the ditch behind Town Hall up to the other end of Shell.
So
right now it stops at Shell. It does not include the area behind Town Hall here that we have used, that we have permission to use, but they have not given us a right-of-way on that particular piece at this point. But 4 years, long-awaited, appreciated, and that
includes a nice fence, too.
Yes, yeah, a nice fence. Well, it'll be a nice black
fence
with razor wire on top of it. Yeah. Okay, let's see. We've got Recreation Department, Nikki.
Let's have that motion authorizing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Make a motion. We approve the mayor's signature on the proposed easement for Matsu.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Good. Nikki.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. We have received a new film permit request from a feature film based out of Charlotte, North Carolina. They would like to come to town and film Tuesday, November 22nd, with a rain date of the 21st and 23rd. That would be 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. And they're working with the pier, and I just recently learned also Southland Motel for some of their work here. But as far as public property impacts, they want to film on the beach near the pier and utilize Beach Access 100, closing that to the public for the day. They want to close Atlantic Avenue South and clear those parking spaces between the pier house and the restaurant there, and use some of the on-street parking on the west side of Fort Fisher Boulevard, north and south, either side of the stoplight. And they've added since this was submitted for two spaces adjacent to the entrance of the south wind on the east side of Fort Fisher Boulevard, so to that request. So that's in addition to the bulleted items in your mail. And if it is approved, we will not return a signed permit back to them without their COIs, and the town is additionally insured and verification from the businesses that they are in agreement with.
Do we know if they closed with Paul for the use of the pier?
They're in discussions with
him. In discussions them. With him?
I don't know where they're at.
Okay. He's the only businessman involved.
Southwind, and I also told him they need to speak to the restaurants that utilize the South Atlantic Avenue area to access their businesses and get deliveries. So I don't know.
Do you have any idea what type of movie this is, Nikki?
It's a feature film. I know the scene that they want to film here was a mother and father on the telephone and like is shopping and going out to lunch and things like that. I don't know what the whole film is about.
Okay, but it doesn't sound unusual.
Not that I've
heard. Okay, very good.
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay. Okay, gentlemen, do you approve the, I need a motion to approve the request.
Make a motion we approve the filming date of November 22nd with rain dates of November 21st and 23rd for filming per the application.
Second.
Any other questions, gentlemen? For Nikki? Then all in favor?
Aye.
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 Got it, Nikki. Thank you.
It does say in Google that that's a dark comedy.
A dark comedy?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
To answer your
question. All right. Then why? Yeah, okay.
Look at dark.
Okay, moving on to old business. Update on the CRR SAA COVID-19 grant and mid-block crossing projects.
We have a signed agreement.
Woohoo!
Yeah, it's taken us a while to get there for the interchange at Fort Fisher and K Avenue. Now the state will give us. We'll approve the money for engineering services, and we can send out our request for engineering services. That's a rather long and drawn-out process because the firms have to be pre-qualified, and it's all DOT guidance. So we're working with them, and slowly but surely we're getting there. The mid-block crossing projects, we received funding for half of the $250,000 from Representative Charlie Miller's office, but the other half is coming from the state Senate, and Senator Michael Lee had run out of funds in his budget. So we're on the agenda for the November NCDOT board meeting to approve that additional $125,000.
Okay.
And I've been assured that we will be approved, but it's just waiting until that's approved. And then, but Senator Berger, who's president of the Senate, has signed off on it also.
Okay.
So we're in good shape there, really.
Good. Okay. 9.2 is taken off the agenda, so we'll move on to new business. Update on the parking season. Okay, the parking season, gentlemen, when we talk to Premium, we do not have, I believe, the last total month income yet.
We'll get it tomorrow, actually.
We'll get it tomorrow. Anyway, we started a very good year. However, we did have, for the entire month of May, pipes on our beach, down the middle of our beach, and you had to climb the sand over the pipes to get there. And in the month of July, believe it or not, we had rain every weekend, with the exception of Sunday on the last weekend of the month. We know that because we keep score. With all of that and a little bit of the pre-COVID hangover, meaning that people had finally a chance to maybe take that different vacation that they would like to take. With all that said, we project we will probably be down. These aren't factual numbers yet. We will probably be down about $50,000 year to year, and we will probably, but we had less expense. So we anticipate we will probably be down maybe $20,000 or $25,000 in profitability or revenue that we can put into the general fund. Next year, we will not have to deal with any of those opportunities, unless the Lord sends the rain on every weekend. But so it was a successful year. There's a lot of numbers involved in this, but when we have the final numbers, I will certainly talk about it to let people interested know what the numbers are. But it was very close despite all the issues we had to deal with this year. Discussion on the process for moving forward on long-term planning for the Atlantic Avenue Boardwalk. Mr. Commissioner Hegler.
Thank you. I've got what I'm getting ready to read, getting ready to go up there, I think, right, Beth? So I'll just read this and then it'll be part of the record.
You want it up on the screen, Dave?
Sure. And if I ad-lib from it, I'll make sure that Beth gets that added in. So kind of first note, just this is on new business. As other than a request for a permit due to changes in the permit policies at state level, this has not been a formal topic of consideration of the council. When council discussed this permit application, we did not consider it would create the concern and speculation that arose in members of the community due to the CAMA communication that was sent out. As a council, I'm sure we'll learn from this. So, Ms. Peterson, I'm sorry that I didn't apologize to you, or I won't speak for any of my fellow members, but I will now, right? So we'll learn and try to be better. As the mayor communicated in his July 12th letter to the town, which I reread yesterday, the boardwalk, which is now 13 years old, showing issues that the town will need to plan to address. This is what we are now starting at this meeting, a process that begins with setting the design parameters that would then go to the design professional team to give the town options that would meet those design parameters to consider. As been highlighted by many citizens who have expressed concerns on multiple issues regarding the actual design parameters, or even what some of them have said in meetings, letters, and in person that council has already decided, the process needs to get reset so that we all know exactly where we are and where we are going. So let's step back, review exactly how a large public project occurs in Curie Beach. The need for a large project is identified to council either through staff, a council member, a new state or federal requirement, or citizens' input either directly to council or through staff. In this case, as the Commissioner of Public Works, I formally submit to council that the Atlantic Boardwalk has potential structural issues in the L and M block of Atlantic Avenue on the foundation area that is integrated with the Atlantic Avenue bulkhead that will require to be addressed in the next 2 to 3 years. The council
after 3 years.
2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
The council, after discussion on the need for a large capital project, gives staff guidance on getting estimates on costs as well as possible alternatives. This guidance can be very specific or more general, and typically may give authorization for reaching out to experts and other communities for additional information. At this time, the council can also authorize preliminary funding with not to exceed amounts for the finance officer and the staff member working on the project to utilize. Additionally, a council member or the mayor may be tasked to work with the staff or experts on the project as a project liaison. This has not happened at this time. Project updates occur to council and the public at regular council meetings, giving the council and public the opportunity to ask questions and participate prior to any approval of large funding. Additionally, based on the project, open town meetings devoted exclusively to the project and the planning process are scheduled and conducted to ensure citizen participation and ensure that the project is meeting the needs of the town. As the project planning progresses, and this is how it's happened in my experience with town hall, the building we're sitting in, the fire department, multiple stormwater projects, the South Water Tower, etc., changes are made based on these inputs, including from all town staff to ensure it meets all local, state, and federal requirements. I was not on council in the Oceanfront Park or initial Atlantic Avenue project, as I was deployed in the Middle East during that time frame of the United States Navy. I left council as I expected to be recalled to service before that time frame and rejoined council as that project was being completed. But my experience on all the other projects that I've been with is what we're talking about now. The project seeks bids for construction and a final budget is established. A staff member, typically a department head and a council liaison, are assigned to oversee the project to ensure it meets the town's requirements and proceeds for the project plan. The reason I wanted to review this process before continuing is so that we are all clear where we are. Council has been notified there's an issue that needs to be resolved in the next 2 to 3 years. Council now needs to discuss how to address this issue, both in terms of direction to staff and communication to citizens on what is going on. So with that, my thoughts, and this is just my thoughts, this is not council, this is now for the discussion, for requirements on this project and any other project we've been. Number one, it has to meet all applicable local, state, and federal requirements. Number two, it has to be safe for the users. And for that, I put in, these are my thoughts and for council to discuss, but has to meet the height above ground guidelines to not require a handrail. I'm not sure where OSHA is on this point, but I don't think anyone wants handrails on a walking path. Based on the allowable footprint and multiple inputs during the past few months, in my mind, this walkway would not be a multiple-use path. As it currently is, it would remain a pedestrian-only pathway separated from the existing roadway. Three, the project needs to fix current foundational issues with a longer-term solution. Specifically, the bulkhead issue between L&M Avenue, which was last repaired following damage during Hurricane Fran, and was repaired by the town rather quickly after that process, is showing there are issues underneath that boardwalk. Additional foundations should be evaluated for what is the best long-term solution in our sandy environment. Four, the surface of the walkway should meet or be appropriate visually to integrate with the oceanfront park and the look that the town of Curry Beach is looking for in its public areas. This guideline is more subjective and needs work, in my opinion. While I've reviewed many other communities' projects online in the past few weeks, I think we would need to see samples from the design team before we knew exactly what meets our needs. I've seen multiple materials that seem to meet this standard, including some I've listed below, but I still believe we would need to see actual examples prior to final selections. So I've seen examples of stamped and stained concrete that simulate wood, Trex, which I've just installed on my own property, other composite materials, and of course wood, which is the current selected product. Material on the top part of the walkway. And five, as with all projects of public funding, cost is a consideration. Both the initial cost of the project as well as ongoing maintenance cost moving forward. And the maintenance costs I put, these are two I thought of, but there may be more: cleaning of the walkway according to what is put down, and then repairs. And then finally, what is the expected lifespan of the various options? So this is my thoughts to council, right? Council has to then add their thoughts, and then we have to talk what is the process for. But as I've said at the beginning, the only thing that's happened right now is an identification of an issue. There have been no funding discussions. There have been no staff directions to work on this project, other than a permit that was brought up because of a time change in the state. That's where we are. And I think it's important for all of our citizens to understand exactly where the council is, right? This is the first time that council has discussed this project and any changes involved. And so now I'll open it to council. There's my inputs.
Anybody have any input they want to add to what David has offered?
Yeah, a couple things, David, and great work, by the way. I do think we need to look at the what has been proposed in the bicycle pedestrian plan. I'm not saying that we need to do what's in the bicycle pedestrian plan, but we do need to incorporate that into our discussions. We've also discussed the need to redesign the N Avenue parking and whether traffic direction down there. Mm-hmm. That's been one of the things that the mayor had brought up. So we need to include that in our design. We need to try to find a way to make this as maintenance-free as possible, a better stormwater runoff, safer bicycle pedestrian flow, and better beach access for all involved. So those things I would want to add to your list, David.
I would add also that the land use plan has comments or a section in there that deals with that part of Curie Beach. And like the bike ped plan, the land use plan should also take anything out of there that would impact how we think about changing that boardwalk. I do agree with at least three of the things that David, we have to comply with the law, local, state, and federal, whether it's material, height, ADA access, all those things, of course, have to be done. And then I personally do not feel that the path should be multi-use. The asphalt can be cars and bicycles, skateboards or whatever. But I think that the 8-foot, whatever the material is, but the 8-foot pedestrian path, I feel should maintain or be maintained as a pedestrian lane. And then visually appealing, whatever that turns out to be. I'm not a fan of concrete for a number of reasons, but.
Okay. Okay. You have anything you want to say, Davis?
Yes. One thing I think we need to address Atlantic Avenue itself. You know, it is a 10-mile-per-hour road, and is, I think, suitable as an option in the bike ped plan is to keep it as the path, the primary path for bicycles going down as well. It is the walkway itself, I agree, should not be a multi-use walkway. I think it can be and should be widened to the full 8 feet that we're looking for, so that in fact we can have at least two couples, four people walking down that path in opposite directions. Because right now it's 6 feet, I think, is just is too narrow, even as a walkway. In terms of materials, I think we should, as David said, consider all options. We want something that's hardier, that's going to be easier to maintain. I would not eliminate any option at this point, and I think we need experts to help us review what are the materials that are most suitable for our location in terms of weather resistance, storm resistance, and aesthetics. I'm not opposed to concrete, but I think people misinterpret when we say concrete, as saying that this is a sidewalk that's poured on top of sand. There are concrete, we have concrete siding on our houses. We have a variety of options, even in the bike ped plan. If you look at the website that they suggested, that is a raised walkway, not poured, but it is concrete that is textured to look like wood, can be stained. So I think we don't want to misinterpret the statement when we say we need to have an option that might be concrete, that it's aesthetically unpleasing. And not something that we can maintain. So I'm fully in support of exploring all of the options that we have there. But I don't know, in terms of the pavement and the grading of Atlantic Avenue, I think we should at least look at that, address if anything needs to be done there, as long as we're looking at the walkway adjacent to it, and we have to apply for CAMA permits, et cetera. And I guess the last thing is probably goes with whatever design option we go with, but landscaping options, we should be looking at, you know, something that's low maintenance, that doesn't encroach on the walkway or on Atlantic Avenue. Again, we want a low maintenance option. If we're going to, for instance, you know, spend more than we would normally spend on a simple wooden walkway. So if we're going to upgrade ourselves, we want everything to be as low maintenance and as stable and as
resistant to the elements as we can. And that includes the landscaping as well as the materials used. So those are my comments.
Okay. I have one follow-up question that maybe even Chief Bowden might have to answer. Bicycles, by law, are supposed to, and by law, are required to obey the traffic, motor vehicle. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
That's one way going mm-hmm. north.
Yeah.
Am I breaking the law by riding my bicycle going south?
Chief?
Technically, yes.
Tentatively, yes.
Yeah. And you see, yep. I'm down there a lot. Robbie and I walk mm-hmm. every day. And I don't see a lot of bicycles. But you'll see as many going south as you do see going north.
Okay.
I just, does that require more signage, more information to the general public?
I'm not a big fan of signs, but my particular opinion. I don't think we need a multi-use path. I agree with that. I don't think we need bollards. That says that we need somewhat of an elevated path, and that path should not be high enough for handrails. I agree with that. Bumpers, yes, so that folks on with their wheelchairs cannot come off of that product. I would actually prefer a natural material deck, but it may require that raising that deck. I really would not want to see wood supporting wood. I would rather see maybe small concrete pillars that could be skirted with wood on the side that appears to the houses. Because I think a major and significant issue down there is we need to find a way to wick moisture away from that wood. If it means French drains under that, well then maybe we should put French drains under that. And I am more in favor of good shrubbery in the area to keep it beautiful. So the point that we have is there are 50 ways to do this. And we need professional engineering to tell us the way to do it most effectively at the best cost. I would mention that I don't think anybody up here has said they want to make it look ugly. All right? So the intent will be to come up with something compatible with the town, and the townspeople will be involved in the selection process. So this is the first time we've really had an opportunity to speak through it as a council. We will proceed accordingly, but we probably will need a motion to identify a firm, RFQ for possibilities before we proceed with anything else.
I mean, I think we still need to refine the design requirements, right? So, I mean, I've been trying to keep notes with what everything you guys said, but I don't know that I kept them very well. And I think that before we even go to the firm process, we should get, here's what the design requirement is, put them out there, let people give us feedback, say, yeah, we agree with that, no, we don't, and then bring them back at the December meeting, say, this is what we vote on for the design criteria that we want people to consider to bring us the plan back. I mean, because we talked about a bunch of other stuff that I didn't even think about, and I want to go back and look at what the land use plan actually says for Atlantic Avenue, because it's 115 pages,
yeah,
and I don't remember what it says. I read it, but I remember, and then... even though I voted against the bicycle plan, we have to see what it says around there, right? So I don't think that the bicycle plan with all the where you're directing people should direct people down there. They'll go to the beach just like they go to the beach all across town, but I don't think any of the plan should direct people to Atlantic Avenue. They'll ride down there where they want to, but if they're coming from out of town to ride through on the Greenway, I don't think it should direct them there because it's a one-way street, which is the point you said.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'd like us to kind of push around and you guys are welcome to mark this up and send it back around and then have it posted with, here's what we think with all your additions, right? I know I didn't send it out to you earlier because I've been out of town working, but I think our job before we get to the design professional is to make sure the design captures our intent, and I don't know that it does right now. That's the intent of the whole council, right? I think it said some things that we all agree on, right? Just like John said, we got to obey the law, and we got to build something safe for our citizens and our visitors. Those two, I think, are no-brainers. It sounded like everyone said that it's a pedestrian pathway only, although we have to look what Alan said and either modify the bike ped plan or just say we're ignoring this part of it if that's what it says. I don't remember exactly what it says around Atlantic Avenue. And then we got to look at the land use plan and either, which we haven't adopted because we just said we're going to have a hearing on it, but look at it to see if what it says about Atlantic Avenue. I don't think it says anything that changes what I've got in here, but I don't remember exactly. And I think...
Yeah. I don't have any issue with coming up with what our cumulative thoughts are. We
right.
should do that.
Right.
I think I would also like to see what a professional engineer would say is the optimal solution, though, given his freedom...
Well, you
to gotta, be aesthetic.
I mean, I am a professional engineer. You got to tell him some guidelines, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I am one, right? And so before I would work on this problem, I would say, what exactly are you asking me to solve? And I don't think what I've written down is enough information for an engineer to just okay. to solve that problem, right?
Okay.
That's what I'm trying to
grab. I don't need to stay on the table and then let us, if he comes, he may have an idea that we hadn't even thought about.
I mean, you got to give him... Some him or her, right? You got to give. As a PE, I can tell you, I struggle with my customers all the time. Please define what you want. Please define your scope. That is the hardest thing to get anyone to do, right? Once they do that, then as an engineer, you can do good work. But if you don't tell an engineer what, at least here's the boundary conditions, right? So if boundary condition is okay, it's not a multi-use path. Okay, that. Okay, I don't have to think about all these things, right? Good, right? And if the boundary condition is 8 foot, right? Because that's as big as it can be, right? Okay, cool, 8 foot. And if the boundary condition is it has to be separated from the, at least as separated as it is right now from Atlantic Avenue, which no one really said that, but maybe that's part of the boundary condition. That's what I'm saying. We need to flesh that out, right? You don't have to tell them the things that we're open to listen to, like material, we should be open to listen to, right? But we got to tell him or her, it's got to look like wood. We want it to look, here's a picture, we want it to look something like this. Show us the options, right? And I think we've got to define the boundary conditions, right? So they know where to work, right? It sounded like, and I'm, you know, I think that's why we kind of batted around. It sounded like it's a pedestrian-only pathway separated from Atlantic Avenue and somewhat elevated, but not so elevated it has a handrail.
Right.
That's what I'm restating, but I'm not saying that's what you guys all said. I'm just restating, right? That's what it sounds like. We need to tidy that up, right? I think that can be circulated, you know, via email so that we get that well shared with the public before our next meeting at the November meeting, and we say, yeah, this is what we want, right? And now design professional, then you start looking for people.
The result being a low-maintenance, moisture-free environment.
So, I think we got to work. I think we got to get there, right? I mean,
because we could actually make it lower, maybe with French drains. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Okay. I guess so. Your recommendation then is that we all put in what our design requirements might be.
That's right.
All right.
And I mean,
I would like for one.
Mine came from some of the inputs from all the
letters.
People that were unhappy from how our camera permit went out, right? So I didn't come up with all these on my own. I was reading back through all the letters and reviewing all the council meetings and listening to some of the conversations.
I would like for, if you're thinking of five inputs, I would like for a sixth input to be the folks that live on that street down there.
I'm fine with that.
And they can.
I mean, you know, I think if we want to I mean, that's fine. I'm fine with however the process you guys proposed. I'm just telling you, here's what I think, right? But I think that before we get to an engineer, and it's going to be multiple engineers, so there's going to be the engineer that says, here's the nice, beautiful thing, right, on top. But then there's going to be a structural engineer for this LM Avenue bulkhead issue that's going to be separate, right? And no one's going to see that when it's done, but there's going to be an engineer involved with that, and there's going to be a separate camera permit for just that. And I wish John Bass was here to tell me what that is. I don't know what that is going to look like in the end, but that bulkhead is going to be a lot of money, and we're never going to see it, but it's worthwhile, right? I mean, because when we started looking underneath there, Jimmy, I think, got some pictures you might have tonight, but there's some significant issues underneath that bulkhead that, you know, hasn't really been looked at since Fran in 1996. And the repair we did on that was, to make sure we were allowed to repair it, was not engineered, I'll say that. It was done by Public Works and the fire department after Fran came through and undercut that bulkhead. And it's lasted really well for us, but that's something we got to address.
Mr. Allen, could you repeat what you just said about six, or what did you just say? Were you saying put it out to the community on the people on Atlantic Avenue?
Excuse me, you can discuss that later. We're talking about it right now. I'd like to let you talk, but that's not the way the process works.
Right, but I'm not going to come up and talk after the meeting based on the way Heather treated me the last time I tried to do that.
This is government time.
Okay.
This is government time.
Yes, this is government time. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
So I don't have a problem with having a sixth input, but it should be everybody.
I don't think we need 150 inputs.
Well, I think,
if they wanted to form a committee and have...
Yeah. I think it's the town, John. I think we do open it up to the town.
Right. Well, it's going to be public hearing.
And not even a public hearing. I mean, I think we come up with the broad parameters that David was talking about. Right? What are the guys? I mean, we know 8 feet, we want it, you know... not to have rails. We're open to a variety of materials. We need the bulkhead to be, you know, re-engineered. We can do that. All right. We can talk about low maintenance landscaping. We can do all of that. Once I think we come up with something, we can publish that. You can send it out as a letter. We can put it out in the email. We can then ask town members. Anyone in town can then submit any suggestions they have, changes or any additions they want to that, and we can consider those before we start then, you know, seeking engineering firms to do it. And again, that's a process of, right, if I recall, it's a process of putting out a request. And let people start coming in. And, you know, I think we have the basics of what we need here, right? We have the broad idea.
Yeah.
I think, as David outlined, I mean, it's really not a multi-use path. In looking at the bike, I went through the bike bed plan again. I don't think there's any proposal in here saying that we're going to route people down Atlantic Avenue. It's not in the bike, you know, it just says it's a walkway. It's some place for people to walk primarily. Bicycles are on Atlantic Avenue. So I think we're not disagreeing about anything here, as far as I can tell. Not either in the land use plan or the bike bed plan, or what we've talked about right now. But I think, you know, I hope we can do this, you know, in that 2 to 3 year time frame, because I get a feeling this is not going to be inexpensive.
One thing we do know.
All right?
Especially one thing we can do.
From my limited discussion with David, I think about the bulkhead, you know, a couple of months ago, and what's going on there. I get a feeling that could be problematic, and again, we need input from CAMA and John Batson and everybody else to see what's going to happen there from Public Works, et cetera. So this is not, and we have to then think about how we're going to fund this.
So are we going to get,
right?
All right, so do we need to move forward to somebody on council and a department head, like we talked, like David talked about in his presentation, that will head this up?
The first part is council's got work to do. What's the process to do?
Mandy will be back shortly. We will use Mandy to gather our information.
Okay.
Once we have our information, we will probably put something out to the town, ask them for their feedback on that information and any additions they may have or other ideas they may have. And at that point in time, then we can assign a council member or two to the project to get it started and bring the updates. That sound logical?
Sounds good to me.
Yes, sir.
Yep. Okay. So then the next item of business on this will be for me to assign Mandy to request our inputs. We'll get them to her, and then we will request inputs from the community after we provide ours.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Consensus, gentlemen?
Yes, sir.
John?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. All right. That's the way we'll proceed. Lease renewal for the lagoon. Well, I do have the contract, and Counselor, I think you've taken a review of it.
No, Mayor, I have not seen that one, but it's a renewal, and I don't think you've had any issues over
okay.
the course of dealing.
Yeah, it's. I believe it's a 2 or 3 year extension.
Great. I got a question about that. Our lease for the storm drain back here was what, 50 years?
50 years.
So we can't get a longer lease for the lagoon than 2 or 3 years? I mean,
we had initially a 50-year lease from when it was first put in, and then they went to shorter leases, and that's why they've stayed.
So right now it's just an extension, basically, to current leases. But, well, I mean, we really don't have a choice.
Well, I know that, but I was just curious that
you can't pick up that lagoon and move it.
I know that. We can't pick up a storm drain and move it once we put it in either.
But a reasonable counteroffer on particular terms is not an unreasonable approach.
Oh, and I agree.
Want to go back and say we don't have any issues, but we like a longer term, what do you, everything
sure.
to gain?
We don't have anything to lose by asking that, do we?
No, we don't.
Okay.
We asked last time, just so to be clear.
Okay, but
it's worth asking every time.
Going,
that's right.
You know,
So just for the public, this is a lease for the land that we have, the town's lagoon on, that services 30% of our sewer. We pay $10,000, a little more than $10,000 a year to the Corps of Engineers for that property, MOTSU, actually. We probably save the citizens about $150,000 a year in sewer processing fee by doing it ourselves versus sending it to Carolina Beach to pay for it. So it's definitely worthwhile. The one thing I did want to ask, and our personnel officer's not here, so Beth, you'll have to take this back. In this, it requires compliance with an executive order, which is a new executive order about sick leave. Do we meet that requirement?
Jim hasn't seen it.
Okay.
There's an additional requirement that Ms. Chase pointed out. The cover email says we need an environmental impact statement before we can renew the lease.
So we have work to do there.
Jimmy, well, when was the last time we did that on that? Do you remember?
What, environmental impact?
Mm-hmm.
Environmental baseline study has to be done before December 31st, 2023. That is the requirement before they'll renew the lease with us.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The last lease was 2015.
Yes.
So then I request council to direct the public works director to get quotes for an environmental impact study. Because, so I make a motion that we direct the public works director to get quotes for an environmental impact study on the town lagoon. Because if they don't renew the lease, we have to shut it down. It's very expensive.
I'll second that.
We need to do that.
Yeah. I have no idea what that cost is.
Well, once it gets quotes, we'll know, right? That's why I get quotes. Yeah.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Got it, Jimmy?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I don't even know who you asked about that, Jimmy.
Diener.
I guess.
I'll
okay. Let me know. I'm interested, actually.
More likely Diener.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for highlighting that, Beth.
No problem.
Discussion addressing safety issues related to the holes on the beach. Commissioner Panikow.
Yeah, I'd just like to bring up, this is an issue that's come up in the Shoreline Access Beach Protection Committee on several occasions. Many residents over the last couple of years have complained about holes on the beach in two major regards. One, safety issues regarding people potential falling in and injuring themselves, turtles getting trapped in the holes, vehicles, you know, public safety vehicles that travel the beach, our ATVs and ocean rescue and police vehicles that travel the beach can be damaged seriously, running into holes, especially at night if they can't see them. So there are a number of issues about holes on the beach. We have all seen, I think, pretty big holes that aren't filled in at the end of the day. So enforcement has become a question, and it's virtually impossible to enforce our existing ordinance regarding modifications to the beach environment, right? Which is, we don't have a specific hole ordinance. We have an ordinance that says you can't modify the beach without bringing it back to its natural state. So I think we should consider a specific ordinance or a new paragraph in the ordinance that relates to restoration of the beach that defines a hole. Now, going through examples, if I look at most, I went through most of the ordinances for towns in North Carolina, and several now have ordinances that define a hole by size. For example, 16 inches deep by 5 feet wide. Knee deep. Knee deep according to the smallest person in your party. you know, so that's a way of defining a hole. If you define a hole, if it exceeds that specification, then those individuals can be approached, and you can say that hole needs to be filled in.
Later or now?
Needs to be filled in now if it's okay. Deeper or wider than what has been.
Then definition of the hole. Okay.
Therefore, if they depart the beach, which is what usually happens, people dig holes on the beach, they leave, there's no one there to enforce it, right? And suddenly you have a 4 foot deep hole. All right. Some of these things look like mine shafts. That someone could fall in and get injured, turtles can get trapped in, a vehicle can run into and be seriously damaged, or its occupants can be injured if they crash into it. So those are some of the concerns. Now, there have been, you know, very widely publicized accidents that occur, deaths, holes collapsing on people. Mm-hmm. There's one in New Jersey this year. Two teenagers from Maine. One got trapped and was killed when the hole collapsed. That's a serious issue. And I've seen some of these holes that really look like mine shafts. I've seen people bring garden spades down and spend a whole day digging a hole. Anybody else see that on the beach?
Yeah.
So. And I've personally gone up, and probably several other people have gone up and said, you know, you need to fill that in before you leave. Well, I might leave at 2 o'clock. They leave at 5 o'clock. Still didn't get filled in. So those are the issues. So I think by adding to the existing ordinance, modifying it, so we define the size of a hole, that we have a limit. Now, everybody likes to dig holes, especially for children. They like a little pool of water. They like to build sandcastles. You don't want to stop them. There are ordinances that say you can't bring a metal shovel on the beach. There are ordinances that say only children's shovels can be used to dig holes. There are ordinances that say you have to have a responsible adult overseeing that hole at all times. that all gets complicated, not really enforceable, I think, in most cases. But I think a size. You know, there's nothing wrong with a 5-foot hole or 4-foot hole, 4 feet wide and 16 inches deep that you can't play in and kids can have a great time in. And you don't have to have something that's dangerous. I don't think turtles are going to get trapped in something that's shallow. I think vehicles may be damaged, but it's not going to result in a major, you know, turnover or accident. And certainly I don't think people are going to fall in there and get seriously injured on a hole that's that shallow. So that just compensates if they are not filled in. And then the last point I'd like to make on this filling in holes is that I've gone out there and filled in holes. And I don't mind filling in a hole that's 16 inches deep. I don't want to fill in a hole that's 4 feet deep or 3 feet deep. So, I don't know, I think we should consider it. And I don't know, I don't think that this is a significant change or disincentive for people to visit the beach. But I think it does give perhaps a little better opportunity to enforce an ordinance that is really there for the safety of all of us. So that's the reason for proposing a new ordinance here. And if I was going to propose it, I would use the size requirement, and I would say 5 feet by 16 inches deep.
What is that measurement? The cap? Or, I mean, you could dig a 5-foot hole in 16 inches deep and you don't have to refill it?
No, you still need to refill it. Now, good point. Thank you. One other thing that I would probably add to that is a time restriction. I don't know if it really helps that much, but a number of ordinances I've seen around the country say that they have to be filled in by 7 o'clock.
Yeah. I think we want them filled in before our lifeguards leave.
Or we could obviously, whatever time we want to choose. Right. But I think that gives us an opportunity for enforcement. But I wouldn't change anything else. I think they have to be filled in before people depart. They have, you know, you have to, we keep our same, you know, fee structure in terms of the penalties if it's not, if you can.
So how do you enforce it? How do you?
Well, that's the point. You can't, it's a very difficult ordinance to enforce. But at least you can go up to somebody who's got a 3-foot deep hole there and say, you got to fill that in. Or I'm going to, you know,
or somebody get,
somebody's
going to
give you a ticket.
Fine or something.
Yeah, it's $100 fine.
$100 fine
in Cure Beach.
Oh. Okay.
I
don't have an issue with working on it.
Was there a particular KBC provision you were thinking about amending along these lines?
Well, it's 13.14.020.
13. Oh, okay.
R, paragraph R, restoration of the beach.
Ms. Chase pointed it out. I've got it now. Thank you.
Yep. Yep. And we either add another paragraph that specifically addresses holes, because this is a general, I mean, you know, you don't want somebody in there with a back hole or you know, who knows what.
Yeah. Right.
You know, digging in the dunes and doing other things. So I don't think we change paragraph R, but I think we either add to it or add another paragraph. And that just gives us an opportunity to do it. Now, I'm not sure it really helps with enforcement. I'm not sure. Ed, Chief, I don't know. What do you think? Is it going to give us any opportunity?
No, I agree with you 100%. I think it was like over 30 deaths in the past few decades in the sand holes. So
yeah, yeah.
Something more like knee deep would be appropriate. So it's not like an actual size and, you know, you don't have lifeguards carrying measuring sticks down there. Something like knee deep to be a little more approachable, and then at the same time, if something seemed dangerous, it would give the police officers or the lifeguards a little more teeth to say, hey, you need to fill that in.
Yeah. Yeah. Knee deep is fine. Yeah. Knee deep for the shortest person.
Yeah.
I mean, I think knee deep in general would be fine because.
That's fine. I'm fine with that. I mean,
that's just my personal
opinion. Yeah. Yeah.
I think knee-deep raises all sorts of legal
issues. Yeah, I think so. I mean, you got Shaquille O'Neal or you got Muggsy Bogues.
I've been
those are two different
knee-deeps. I didn't want to be involved in.
Yeah. Well, as I said, I've seen at least They have at least one ordinance, I don't know what town it is, that says the shortest individual in the party. So, you know, you've got a, you know, a two-year-old standing there, you've got a six-inch hole. So.
Yes.
So.
Well, okay, I think, I'm not what's your opinion?
Yeah. I'm not opposed to it. I think we've got to work through the details.
But I like
you,
the fact,
Commissioner, are you offering to draft something for the council to look at next month?
I'd be happy to.
Okay. I agree with the idea, even if the enforcement is difficult, if we give direction to the to our lifesavers on the beach or to commissioners who are on the beach, to go up and say, look, you really need to take care of that by this particular point in time, mm-hmm. or somebody's going to show up with a ticket book. And we don't want that. We don't want to ruin your vacation, and we don't want the beach ruined. So it's okay to approach people when we have something definitive.
Right.
So I'm for that definitive statement. Anybody else?
I have filled in holes.
I found out the best way to get it done.
What?
My grandkids and my son some down there digging holes on the beach. And I just kept saying, fill in the holes before we leave. Now my grandkids say it before I say it. And my son looks at me and said, how much you paying them to say that? But my little grandkids say, fill in the holes, Daddy. We can't leave holes on the beach. So
there you go. Well, there you go. We're getting everybody cooperating. So sure. So we have consensus. You got the ball.
Yeah. Yeah, all right.
Come back with us.
Yeah. I'll draft something.
All right.
And if you want to send it to me ahead of time, I'll take a peek at it.
All right, thank you.
Okay, mayor updates. I think I've talked enough. Commissioner items?
Any
commissioner items tonight? Okay. Then
I'll make a motion that we're going to closed session per attorney-client privilege, General Statute 143-318.11. Subparagraph A3.
Okay, we have second. All in favor of going into closed session?
Aye.
Aye.